Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
I want to talk to you guys tonight about freedom, true freedom in your life. You know, the number one thing in Americans is financial pressure. You know, the average American spends $1.33 for every dollar they earn annually. Oh my gosh. It's heartbreaking. It's difficult. You know, when it's my responsibility to bring sheep, I'm a shepherd, to bring sheep to green pastures and fresh water and shelter, and people are overspending. Credit cards are way too easy. You know, it's interesting because when Pastor Sandy was in Philadelphia or New Jersey with Brooklyn and Press and Teal Marie, I got the mail. Sandy said, "Did you get the mail?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I got the mail. What are you kidding me?" And I'd go and like the mail is stuffed in the mailbox. You know, I gotta get a crowbar to get it out. It's got some. And I'm looking at all of the credit card applications that are coming to Kennedy. You know, she turned 21. She's a senior in college, and it's like they're just, man, they're credit. I mean, it was a half a dozen. I finally started pitching them. Man, it's just crazy, the onslaught. And then I opened one of them up and I looked at it. And after the first year, you pay this much in interest. After the first year, it was 30%. After the second year, it was 40%. I was thinking, oh my gosh, we gotta tell somebody. There's too much of a financial strain. The number one reason for separation and divorce in America is money issues. And it's not God's will. God's will is for us to have freedom. And you know what? We've got to bring God into the mix. And I just want to ask you, is God in the mix in your finances? Is God first place with your income, with your debt, with your, is he there? The first thing I want to talk about, again, is our tithes and offerings. This is where our money needs to go. I'm just going to bring some perspective. It's going to be very, very down to earth. But our tithes and our offerings. And the tithe is simply obedience. It is. It's just obedience. And let me just tell you, you might say, well, but wait a second, it's a sacrifice. Don't look at it. See, we got to change the way we think. See, obedience is better than sacrifice. See, sin causes sacrifice. Because of our sin, God had to sacrifice his son. And then now because of our sin, it might sacrifice our freedom. It might sacrifice our health. It might sacrifice our marriage. The first step to financial freedom is to, and write this down, involve God. Is God the God of your finances? Whether you're rich or poor. Whether you're bond or free, whether you're young or old, I'm telling you, man, the first step to financial freedom, it's not to get out of debt. It's not to make more money. It's not to buy low and sell high. It's to involve God. Write this down in your notes. Get God involved. Man, get him involved in raising your kids. Get him involved in your marriage. Get him involved in your finances. Two quick points. We position ourselves. What that does, the tithe, positions us to God's favor. That's what the tithe does. If you don't feel like God's favor's upon your life, I'm telling you, just the next time you get paid, take the first 10% and put it in God's house. That's not to a missionary. That's not to a charity. That's not to your savings account. It's the local church. It's where you go to worship and where you're fed. If this is your local church, it's here. If it's not, you put it in your local church. If you don't have one, get one. I'm just telling you, man, the last thing you want to be is without the local church in your life. It's the hope of the world. See, I look at two institutions God ordained. Number one is marriage, the institution of marriage. Huge attack. I mean, just it's amazing about marriage today, what people are considering, okay? But number two is the local church. Both of them are covenant. Both of them are built for life. See, that's how this works. Number one, the tithe positions us in God's favor. Number two, we have an eternal impact in God's kingdom through our church. Do you know, we have a, I don't know, is Tanya here? Tanya, what's our mortgage now? What'd she say? $700,000. We've got $10 or $12 million worth of property here, and we owe $700,000. And I talked to pastors, they're like, Bill, that's not debt. Man, don't be thinking you have debt. But let me just tell you, if we tithe, we'd have that paid off in a matter of months, if everyone tithed. But the truth is, man, on the high end, 6% of church members tithe. On the average end, it's 4 or 5%. I'm in denial, maybe. I'm not checking, but I'm hoping this is better than that. I'm hoping we're smarter. I'm hoping we've got it more. We're more mature spiritually than that. But you know, if you think about it, it's like, oh my gosh, how flush the church would be. And let me just tell you what God talks about. Man, what it does in your life, what it does in my life. If I just got up here and told you what the tithe has done in my life, it's overwhelming to me. But you know what? In Malachi 3:7, God says, look, you've robbed God. And they said, how? And he said, with your tithes and your offerings. It's not the money. It's the opportunity for God to bless us. Because what does it say? 9, 10, and 11, and 12 says that God will open up the windows. God says, try me now in this. That I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. If he stopped right there, I'm in. Man, if he said, look, I want the top half of your income, I would give it for an open heaven above my life, for there not to be a lid in my life. See, Sandy and I flew back from Houston today, and she said, you know, Sandy said, Bill, people don't think you're ever going to be satisfied. People that work for it, people that, I'm probably never going to be. But the bottom line is, what helps me is I know there's not a lid that operates in my life. And if you're okay with a lid that operates in your life, there's nothing I can do to talk you out of that. You've got to not be okay with that. You've got to not be. When you've got the opportunity to have an open heaven above your life, take it. Please quit messing around. Quit playing the casino games that you're playing, hoping, oh God, that I roll sevens. No, hoping for that. No, you know what we've got to do? Man, we've got to put our trust in him. The tithe is us just trusting God. I'm not a coward. I refuse to be cowardice. I refuse to, for fear or self-centeredness, to keep a lid over my family's life. See, and this is the bottom line. But the Bible says this, bring all, the Amplified says the whole of your tithe, the whole tithe into the storehouse. That there might be meat in my Father's house. Let me prove, and I'll prove this to you is what God says. That I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing you're unable to receive. You might say, well, I only make 20 grand a year. I'm just telling you, we were in that place not too long ago. But guess what? Our mindset wasn't 20 grand a year. Because you know what the tithe does? Because see, the tithe is a habit. And the tithe, what it does, it expands how you think about life. You're like, wait a second. There's not just an open heaven above my life, but then the second aspect of it is, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. And let me just tell you that. It's that's overwhelming. That he extracts and publicly humiliates the devourer. How much has the enemy taken in your life? How much, sir? I'm done with him. I'm not just going to leave the door open for him. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine. Man, if just the fruit of people in this room, if just the fruit had matured and been realized in our life, it's game changer for all of us. He said, you'll be called a delightful land. See, the world will look at us and the world will look at you and they'll point and they'll say they're delightful. And see, we've got to understand that. So please return your tithe and give your offering. Because what the tithe is, it's just the first things. It's just first fruits. What the offering is just we're generous. We're so generous. I'll tell you, if there's one thing the body of Christ needs to be known for in the world today, it's that we're generous. Man, with our money, the first thing we do, it's tithes and offerings. Second thing, are you ready? Is we've got to save. We've got to invest. We have to be those people. We can't be the Americans who spend more than we earn anymore. We have to. We bring our tithe and we invest in our future. That's what savings is. And you say, man, I can't afford to save. No, you know what? Man, God gave Pastor Sandy and me revelation of the store that God wants to bless our storehouse. And at that time, I was a youth guy in Southern California. We weren't making much money at all. Matter of fact, we were making less than they offered us. And you know, we just said, God, we're just going to trust you. We're here. And I heard this message. Matter of fact, Dick Mills talked about God wants to bless your storehouse. And I'm driving home. We're talking, and I said, man, God wants to bless our storehouse. We didn't even have a savings account. We opened up a savings account. Literally, my dad one time, it's probably 2 weeks after we opened up a savings account, he sent a $5,000 check to all his kids. And he said, you know what? I know you got an inheritance coming. I know I got money to pay back, but I just want to bless you guys. I've never done this before. And you might say, well, that would have happened if you hadn't opened up a savings account. Really? I love those kind of coincidences if it would have happened. I believe those things are connected. They're tied. 1 year after we opened it up, we had $12,000 in that savings account. And you know what? And really, honestly, that was over half of the amount of money we made that year. You know, you think about it. If you start where you just start minimally, $20 or $40 or $50 a month, whatever. You tithe, you give, you save. And then you know what? You're able to invest. Man, if you've got some money set away, if you've got some money, then guess what? Something will happen for you. And you know what? You can afford it. Man, I could get this. See, we as a church, I know there's buildings that are going to come open for this church. I know there's opportunities, but let me just tell you, I don't want those opportunities to become frustrations because our hands are tied. We don't have the money for that. We need to have enough for every godly work, every good work, every work that God puts in front of us. Proverbs 21:20, if you've got your Bible. Proverbs 21:20, there are precious treasures and oil in the dwelling place of the wise, but a self-confident and foolish man swallows it up and wastes it. Whatever situation that you're in, find a way to begin to save. Don't let I don't have enough rule you. You've got to change your mindset. I can't afford that. I can't afford to save. That's your flesh. That's the enemy deceiving you. We serve a God of more than enough, and he lives on the inside of us. And you know what we've got to do? We've got to recognize that, and we've got to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You got to renew your mind to, man, I'll tell you what, we're great at saving. Matter of fact, I'm one of the best savers in the world. Sandy and I will set goals on what we want to save, how much we want to give, and what we want to save. I'll tell you what about the tithe. I'll tell you how crazy I am about the tithe. And this was over 20 years ago that I got a revelation in the tithe that we live by faith and not by sight. So we began to tithe, listen, commensurate to the income we were believing God for. See, not the income we were making. What we were in faith, what we're in trust and believing God for, and began to tithe toward that. Man, if you're here and you're like, man, I'm believing God that I could make $1,000 a year, make your tithe $100 that year. And put that tithe into the store, so you put that tithe in the bucket. And I'm telling you what, right now, God's gonna absolutely meet you at your place of faith. See, that's who we have to be. That's what this is about. Man, it's not just about us carving it off. No, let's turn this into a faith measure in our life. And whatever the situation, find a way to begin to save. Where tithing and saving become a habit. Tithing and saving become habits. So there's tithes and offerings, there's savings and investments, and finally, eliminate debt. Some of the wealthiest people I know eliminate debt. Believe God to pay your house off. See, and let me just tell you, don't get into bondage here. Because if you're current on your payments, you owe no man nothing, anything. But let me just tell you, why chance that? Why have that mortgage over your head? Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything except to love them. For your loves one another fulfills the law. In the Amplified, it says, owe no man anything. Keep out of debt. Remember, the average American, so I know I'm talking to some people here, for every dollar they make, they spend $1.33. That's not a good plan. Come on, it's a habit. It's a habit to tithe. It's a habit to save. It's a habit not to just throw that credit card out and buy stuff. It becomes your habit. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is servant to the lender. Or the borrower is slave to the lender. Think about those two words, rule and slave. Man, I'll tell you what. There needs to be an emancipation proclamation in the church where we don't let each other become slaves to debt. We don't let each other allow a credit card company to be the ruler of our lives. Let's go back to that verse. Let's read it one more time. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant or slave to the lender. I don't want anybody or anything other than God ruling my life. Anybody with me on that? No, for real. You with me? See, let the Holy Spirit convict you today. Let this be a convicting message. Maybe it's like, wait a second. Wait, I've been frivolous. I've been too casual about my money. Here's how Dave Ramsey says, okay? I'm just using this as a template because we're going to get to a couple questions here in a few minutes. But Dave Ramsey says, in your giving, make it 10 to 15%. And that would be your tithe as well. It's Dave Ramsey. He's a Christian, but it's Christian material, but he's just using a broad stroke. So in your giving and your tithe, between 10 and 15%. You're saving between 5 and 10%. And then your debt elimination between 5 and 10%. Man, you just take the amount of money you make and start using those percentages. You start with 10%, your tithe. And then you go to your savings and you put 5% in a place of savings. And then you go to your debt elimination, you take 5% and you begin to pay things down. And you know what, man, get some help, get some coaching. And I'll just tell you, for you, this is what Sandy and I do, all right? So I'll just kind of bring you into our world. This is what we do as a church. Number one is, what's my goal? Where do you want to be? You know, I think a good, healthy rule of thumb is that you have 6 months of living expenses as savings. And you might think, oh my gosh, there's no way I could do that. Well, you know what? Start with a month. Whatever it costs you to live for a month, believe God and set that as a goal for your savings. You got to start somewhere. But let me just tell you, what's awesome about this is you look at little kids. I've got a granddaughter. It's going to be one Saturday. And you know what? she crawls everywhere, and she's slapping the ground and when she's crawling. But you know what? She can stand up on her own. Man, you give her your pinky, she can walk a little bit. Let me just tell you, the day's coming where she'll be walking on her own. Let me just tell you what little kids do. What's Brody do after he walks? He runs. It's like, here, God, like, no, you got Joel had to get in shape because Brody started walking. And let me tell you, there was like a week of walking, and then what is it? It's running. It's full out, let's go. And you get that little kid running, you got to run along with him. Let me tell you, that's what's going to happen in your finances. You're going to start crawling. It's going to be embarrassing. I'm crawling. But then you realize you stand up, and you're like, whoa, hey, whoa, hey. People say, how big are you? I'm this big. Where's your nose? Where's your cheeks? You want to eat? And then you'll start walking. Then you'll start running. Man, then you'll start soaring. Why? It just becomes a habit. Man, the next thing you know, there's going to be opportunities that are come before you. I mean, you think about the opportunities you've had. You think about those opportunities become frustrations because it's like, I don't have the money for it. How come? Because I've been spending $1.33 for every dollar I make. Is this registering or resonating with you at all? See, I'm not meaning it. There's no condemnation to this, but I'm hoping God convicts you. I'm hoping you have some financial freedom where, man, you're not under the suppression of the enemy. So the first thing is, what's my goal? Set a goal. And the second thing is, and this is where the rubber meets the road, what do I need to do to get there? What do I need to do to get there? Man, I want to save $10,000 this year, okay? What is that, $850 a month? Less than that? What does that become? That becomes $25 or $28 a day? I got to figure it out. God, show me where there's $28 a day. And you know what the devil's going to say? And your flesh is going to scream, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. Well, you know what? Your goal may be $5,000 this year. And you cut those numbers in half. Now you're probably just not drinking fancy coffees. Now you're not getting a Red Bull every time you stop a Quick Trip. I don't know, I can't live without the Red Bull. Really? Would you rather have financial freedom? And I'm not here preaching against Red Bull. I'm not, please understand that I'm not preaching against anything. And trust me, I'm not pointing any fingers. See, for me, it's the opposite. Money's not that big a deal to me. But you know what? I have responsibilities. I have a God-given wife, and I have kids and grandkids. I lead a church. Now, you know what I've got to do? Man, I've got to stay on top of it. The last thing you want is for a big dollar sign to be on top of you. Man, where do you want to be? What's your goal? And then, man, what if a mission trip comes up that you want to be a part of? Man, we're not teenagers that write support letters anymore. Man, we're adults. We take responsibility. See, if we can't get out in front of our finances, I think what happens is there's a financial stress that's upon our lives that, in my opinion, may be the most unhealthy thing a person can have in their life. I think it produces a lot of dis-ease, right? There's no hyphen in that word. That disease produces disease. And I'll just tell you, I love you too much to let you have disease in your life. It's not a fundraising deal. It's liberty. I'm not selling you. I'm sold. So if I'm really sold, it's easy to preach. You guys know when somebody's selling. I'm not selling. I'm telling you, this is going to bring a newfound peace in our lives.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.